it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. Use that code CLNS to get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. And we're brought to you, we got a new sponsor, Connor, new presenting sponsor, Game Time Tickets. Use that promo code CLNS to get $20 off your first purchase. Again, you get in the mood to go to the NHL playoffs, you want to catch a Bruins playoff game, use that promo code CLNS to get $20 off that first purchase. There's a lot of cool deals over there, so go use the Game Time app. That's Connor Ryan, Evan Marinovsky. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. I'm doing great. Bruins are in a good spot. Again, Bruins up 3-1 in this series. We're recording this on Monday, so you'll probably hear this Tuesday. Maybe a little pregame listening before Game 5 Tuesday night in Boston. 3-1 series lead normally is a good thing for a team. After last year, not so great. And then you also look at 2013 and 2018 for the Bruins against the Leafs. They were up 3-1 in those series. Now, granted, they won both of them, but took a little bit of you had to sweat a little bit, especially in 2013. Had to sweat a little, and then they finally pulled it out. So I ask you, how do you feel about where the Bruins are at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bruins are in a good place. I mean, when you're up 3-1 in a series, you do have that added lift and that added breathing room that you kind of need to go far in a series. And again, you mentioned like the Maple Leaf series and how they kind of made things hotter on themselves in those previous two matchups. But even look at like Florida last year, I was like digging into the numbers a little bit, just comparing and contrasting where the Bruins were last year at this time going to Game 5 against Florida and then going to Game 5 against Toronto. I'm sure we probably have a podcast. We can bring up the tape looking back at last year of after game four and being like, I got this one in the bag. Like, they're coming off of that Florida trip.
I think straight up said this series is over at that point. Yeah. I think I was like, this is done.
I mean, you look at just the way the Bruins really controlled play for extended stretches when they were up in Toronto, but the Bruins won those games down in Florida. I think it was 10-4 was the combined score. You look at like the Bruins had the edge in special teams against Florida. They were, I think, like 4-10, I want to say, in those first four games. And I think Florida was 1-11. You look at where the Bruins are now. They're operating at almost, 50% in this series against Toronto. And Toronto's 1-14. Like, again, two different teams. We'll see how it plays out. But you're in that same spot where if you asked probably Bruins fans last year, feeling really good of where they're going. They're like, all right, we got what? We got Tampa Bay next. We got Toronto. You know, that's kind of where you're going into that matchup. That being said, as much as we run the risk of, you know, repeating the same script, if you're the Bruins, I think you're feeling really good about where you are right now. I think we mapped out what the advantages in net were going to be for the Bruins. And also at special teams, like there was clear areas where this team was going to capitalize against a team like Toronto. And it's been the case. And again, there's ways to improve, right? There's the more quality chances at 5-on-5 play, especially offensively. But I think especially look at game 4, which is I think probably their most complete win. that was one where, again, we talk a lot about the goaltending. That's going to be another topic going into game five, but I don't think it would have mattered whether it was Swayman or Ullmark in net. Like, the Bruins were really, really strong defensively in that game, blocking shots, limiting a lot of shots from the outside, winning battles in the neutral zone, turning pucks over. And you play a confident game like that against a Toronto team that's reeling right now, whether it's guys that are banged up, guys that are sick, like with Austin Matthews. Like, there's a lot, I think, that's working in the Bruins' favor right now going into Tuesday's game.
I agree. And you think about, like, I think the Leafs had 7 high-danger chances in all situations in game four, which is really low. And again, like, we'll discuss the goaltending in a bit, but, like, they were good. Carl Corzine and I were saying after the game, like, that was as structured a game as you could possibly play if you were the Bruins, shutting the Leafs down in every part of the ice. My one minor concern, and this isn't Leaf specific, it's more like sports. This sounds dumb, but get ready for this. You know, going into this, and maybe this is just me being more pessimistic about this, but, like, typically when a team hits rock bottom, they kind of rebound a bit. And you saw that in game four, right? The Leafs' rock bottom was the end of that second period. Now, the Leafs can find a new rock bottom. I have no doubt about that. But take them being the Leafs out of the equation. They seem to hit rock bottom at the end of the second period. Third period, they responded okay. Now, you still, like, had Nylander's wild penalty on Jake DeBrusk. I mean, what are you doing?
Hit him with, like, the stone cold stunner. He didn't even have a stick. That's the funniest part. Jake DeBrusk was, like, just trying. Was Jake DeBrusk was like the Mr. Krabs meme of, like, trying to find out where he was, and then literally gets, like, dropped to the ice behind him.
I love that. Insane. I mean, no stick. Like, he is not a threat at all to get that puck. Like, he's just hit it. He's just gonna hit you, and to turn around and just boonk in the offensive zone. Like, it's just a penalty every time. So there's stuff like that. But still, they rebounded okay. And then you think about, you know, will they be better in game five? It's going to take a lot. I mean, their power play is going to have to be better. They're going to have to find a way to break Jeremy Swayman, Samsonov, or whoever they start. You know, I feel like it would be Joseph Wall. That would be a crazy move to bring out Samsonov. For game five. But if it's Wall, you know, breaking him, you know, him having a great game. So you need a lot to go in. The Leafs need a lot to go in their way for game five. But, you know, again, I do see some stuff on Twitter of people kind of getting ahead of themselves. Yeah. The series is not over. This is not over. Like,
survive in advance.
Yes. Like, it is not over until that final horn sounds when the Bruins, you know, have a lead when the horn sounds. So, and again, maybe that's because we went through last year and now we're all scarred from it. And it's like, holy crap, you've got to finish it off. Or it's, you know, past years against the Leafs where it did come down to the wire. But yeah, I mean, the reality is this Leafs team is reeling. Like, Matthews didn't practice on Monday. They are, I think the goaltending situation is worst case scenario. I mean, we talked about it prior, going into the series. Like, they were not good in net. I don't think even we expected it to be this bad, though, to have. And it's not even like tons of goals have been going in, but it's the goals that are going in, like that Van Riemsdyk one. I mean, dude, like, what is that 5-hole? I mean, that's like, you know, remember in elementary school when you learned like what a different triangles, like isosceles triangles and all that.
Remember, memories. You're thinking of geometry. My brain's going to start frying.
It's like, oh, no, not geometry. That was him. He had like an isosceles triangle under it for his 5-hole. I mean, you know, just easy to put the puck through, and the Frederick goal in game three, and some
that
of
that Marchand power play goal, like they had a whole side of the net open there.
I mean, dude, like, and to fully commit to the shot at the point, Charlie McAvoy does not shoot the puck on the power play. Like, he could have, like, if McAvoy is like right here, he could have just like went over here, and McAvoy still would have passed it, you know, because he's just such a pass first guy. But again, Marchand shoves it in the empty net. So to me, like, you know, take everything, you know, I have the pessimistic side of me, but then I have the optimistic side where I'm like, the Leafs, as you said, are just reeling.
Yeah, no, it's the optics aren't that great right now, Evan.
No. And like, again, like you think about, I was talking about this with Carl the other night, that play behind the net, and it was small, like that Nylander play where Boqvist just hits
Boqvist,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm watching, and I'm like, he just like disengaged. Like, you could see his body just like stand there. And there's no, the Leafs aren't on the right side of the puck. There's nobody, protecting against that. And again, like, I don't get it. I mean, Keith is gone if they lose this series. I think that's like pretty obvious at this point.
You make the argument that like Shanahan should be gone. I don't know if they'd get that high up, but like, what's been changed? And obviously, he fires Dubas, which again, you can point a lot of fingers at the roster construction there. But like, how is, you know, Tree Living, like, how is he changing in terms of the guys he signed? Like between Reeves and some of these other players, like I guess like Bertuzzi and Domi fit some of what they needed, even though it's kind of blown up in their face in this series. But even like you forget, like they like added a guy like John Klingberg who was lost early on in the year. He was awful. Like what?
Yeah.
Like the roster construction there in terms of like, all right, your Delta. I don't know if you call it Delta tough hand when you've got this much talent up front, but with the cap space, you got to get creative. But like the way they went about things was a mess. And as you said, like you look at like the Nylander play. And again, like this team has enough talent. They can turn it on in a hurry. Like doesn't matter. Again, you'll take Matthews out there, and if you're Maples, you better hope that he's out there. But we saw in that third period, as you said, like they can really ramp things up, make things hectic in a hurry before they shoot themselves in the foot with like a bad penalty. But the talent is there. But like that play with Boqvist and Nylander, it's, you know, people look at like the Bruins when they've lost some of these series, right? Where like they can't match the forecheck of Florida or even like Carolina.
Florida.
I know. kind of sounded like Forrest Gump there. Jesus. I almost threw up last episode. Now I'm sounding like Forrest Gump. So who knows what happens if we get to the next round. I'm going to be actual Florida man. We'll see. We'll actually see what happens. But you look
stuff
at the series,
score.
Right? Exactly. Like GTA 6 all over again.
But yes. No. Like, yes.
But like you look at those series against Florida and Carolina, where the Bruins really had a lot of trouble on that forecheck. That's like, you know, not being able to match the execution of what Carolina or the Panthers are throwing at you and unable to adapt. Like, wasn't like, I think, like a lack of engagement or a lack of hustle, or like they were just like giving up on battles. It was like you're getting hit in the face, you're sending pucks into no man's land, they're turning the puck over, they're capitalizing. But then you're not like, you're not having those plays where you're looking at it afterwards to be like, what the hell is that guy doing there? What is Coyle doing there, or DeBrusk, or anyone else like that? Like, when you have optics like that with Nylander, we're just like, eh. And you lose the battle, you lose possession. Like, it's not great.
It isn't. Oh, God. Imagine if that was Boston. Imagine if, though, like, Toronto's a really tough market. I'm not saying it is. Like, it's Toronto. Those, I mean, they got booed like crazy coming off the ice. But,
that was wild.
Yeah, that was wild. I want to get into some interesting stuff with the Leafs. We'll talk goaltending in a second. But first, our good friends over at Prize Picks. Quick break in the action to tell you about my good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. And the best part, quick withdrawals. And it's easy gameplay and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. As the Bruins playoffs roll on, I'm liking the pick of Jeremy Swayman more saves. He's just been so good of late. And you know what? I also like Jake DeBrusk more goals. So download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So one quick Maple Leafs point before we get back to the Bruins. So I have a little funny story. So Friday night, I had hockey all weekend at New England District Festival all day Saturday. Then I had Bruins Saturday night, Sunday. So there wasn't a lot of time to do stuff. So Friday night I had open, and a lot of my friends and roommates were away. And so Spoke Z lives nearby. And he frequents the Last Drop, as people on Twitter know. He loves the Last Drop. It's like his bar. And so I wanted to watch the game, and he's fun to watch the game with. And so I met up with him at the drop, and we watched Avs and and Jets, and we're sitting there talking about Mitch Marner and the Leafs and what they should do if they, and this, it wasn't 3-1 at this point, it was 2-1, but if things had continued, you know, what could the Leafs do to fix their roster? And, you know, we're talking about the idea of trading Mitch Marner, and, you know, we're looking at the standings of, you know, what teams could potentially, where would he make sense? You're not trading him to a rebuilding team, isn't that? And he, and Spokesy goes, well, what about Salt Lake City? What about Utah? And we're like, oh, and we're sitting there like crunching the numbers. We're looking at the rosters and everything. And the next night, it's blowing up, not from us, but Greg Wyshynski tweets out, what about Mitch Marner to Utah? I forget who he said in return to, but Mitch Marner to Utah. And I'm like, did he, was Greg Wyshynski, did he have last drop bugged? Was he eavesdropping on us? I think this is like, for Seinfeld fans, this is like when Kramer comes up with the beach cologne, you know, like it was his idea first. So next time I see Greg Wyshynski, I'm going to say, Greg, were you a big last drop guy? Were you sitting near us? Were you listening? Did you have us bugged? So,
things to think about. I will say I was worried because I think a Toronto reporter like had another scenario where I was trading him to Utah in return for Clayton Keller. And I was like, that's my trade scenario guy, which again,
that's your idea.
That's my idea is Clayton Keller. And also, by the way, bad news for my idea, because I don't think that guy's moving from you, or I don't think the new ownership wants to move a guy like Keller. He's probably their most marketable guy, at least for right now. So bad news for yours truly.
They're stealing our ideas. This is, you know, working.
And I don't even go to the last
people drop. Like us. Exactly.
I'm afraid of running into Spokesy. He's
gonna beat exactly. That's it. But yeah, so figured that was a fun little story. So going into game five, looks like Jeremy Swayman is going to be starting again. That'll be three straight starts. But I mean, there's not been confirmation yet, right? I mean, I was at practice Monday. I didn't hear anybody say Swayman's officially starting. I'm guessing he is going to start. I think he should start game five. Do you disagree with that? Do you think it should be Omar? I mean, where are you at with the goaltenders?
I think my official take, and we had a little bit of a round table, I think, after practice of getting people's opinion. And like the people who I think who think that Omar should go game five, I absolutely get it. There's a very compelling case to be made for either of them. My opinion is I think you stick with the hot hand and you close things out with Swayman just because he's been so good. And you also have another 2 days off in between games, which helps out a guy that is going into what would be his third straight start, as you said. But again, it's all about, we've mentioned this before, about surviving and advancing. Take care of this series, close it out, roll with a guy who has been an absolute monster in net against Toronto all season long, get the job done, and then you reassess and go into a new series. And you know, I imagine go back to the goalie rotation, see which of those guys gain traction again. You made the case, like, they're up 3-1. Omark, again, I think we all agree, wasn't the reason they lost game two. Has he been as good as Swayman? No, but if you want to get Ullmark back into the equation, get him back into game action, and best case scenario, you win that game and, you know, Ullmark has a clinching win under his belt, feeling good about his game going into most likely a Florida series where you're probably going to have to rely on both those guys in that matchup. I can absolutely see that being the scenario the Bruins want to take, especially when you have a little bit of breathing room here. And again, if you lose, you go back up to Toronto with Swayman in game six. So like you also give yourself a little bit of insurance there. Again, maybe my take is a little bit riskier in terms of like if Swayman loses game five and all of a sudden momentum's back on their side. But I think you look at just how good he's been and you look at like, I imagine Matthews is going to play game five, even though it seems very ominous of like the fact he didn't practice at all. But if he's weakened or if he does not play, go for the throat. Try to take things out in game five and put an end to this in advance. And then you reassess from there. That's at least my take, but it's a very compelling case for anyone else who thinks it should be Ullmark.
I completely agree. I think Swayman is the guy for game five. I think he should be the guy for game five. Same reason you kept him in for game four, right? You're going for the knockout here. Like that's the point. However, if it doesn't work, we can get into some scenarios for game six and seven if things don't work out for the Bruins. But first, our friends over at Factor Meals. Quick break to tell you about my good friends over at Game Time. I am very excited about the NBA playoffs. And what's awesome is here in Boston, TD Garden is the best atmosphere for a playoff game. Thankfully, we have Game Time, which is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the tip-off. And with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Maybe it's the NBA playoffs or it's the NHL playoffs. The same is true with the Bruins. TD Garden gets so fun during this time of year, and you want to be there. The Bruins and Celtics are in pursuit of championships, and as the rounds go on, the crowd gets better and better. Nothing beats it. And with Game Time, there's last-minute deals. Save up to 60% off buying last-minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. There's flash deals. Save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. And there are zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. Again, take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets and head over to Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code, again, CLNS. I can't be more clear about that. Use code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Now, back to the show.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So the other part of it, though, like in the event that Jeremy Swayman's in for game five and they lose, it presents an interesting decision going into game six, right? Do you stick with Swayman? Because remember last year, this is where last year stuff starts to pop up, right? Linus Ullmark, good in the first four games, if memory serves. Tough game five with that giveaway. Game six was not good. Then they had to bring in Swayman for game seven, and Ullmark kind of had run out of gas. You know, so Swayman starts game five. That'd be three in a row. Six would be four, and obviously seven would be five. Congratulations to myself. I can count. But I did it. I can't believe I did it. But it's an interesting thing because, like, you know, fortunately for the Bruins, Linus Ullmark started game two. So it has not been, like, weeks since he started a game. But it, you know, again, if Swayman did have a stinker in game five, or they even lost, like, let's say, like, 4-3, 5-3, something like that, I mean, the case would be strong to go probably go back to Ullmark in game six for Toronto. And it's unconventional, but that would be the rotation. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's like the argument, right? Is that if you go with Swayman and he loses and you go back to Ullmark or what have you, it's been a long time in between starts for him, right? That kind of, again, throws out your whole equation. It's almost like after you broke from the rotation in game four, it's almost like you have to now kind of commit to it just for this series. Again, once you get past the series, we can reassess everything. It's the same thing with like looking at Forbert and like Brazo, who could be options for game five. I think like especially like Brazo could be a guy that could really impact this team at 5-on-5 play. I don't want to really tinker with the lineups right now. I don't want to change what's been working these last four games or these last especially two games up in Toronto. Stick with what you have. Go with Swayman and try to close things out. Because if things go awry or something comes up short, snowball starts, right? And then again, you make the case. If you go Swayman and he loses and you go back to Ullmark, yes, I think you have confidence in Ullmark to go up to Toronto and close things out. But if it's been a while in between games for him and all of a sudden if he's not up to speed or he's a little bit rusty, go back to Boston for game seven, right? Like, again, you automatically go through the worst case scenarios. But we saw last year, it's very easy. Like, Bruins controlled, you know, stretches of that game five last year. They had, you know, the puck on Marchand's stick on that breakaway, right, at the end of the game. And all it takes is one play from Tkachuk off a bad turnover in overtime to kind of change everything. So what, you know, it's, you can like overanalyze everything. You can look at like the lineups and you look too far ahead. I think if you're the Bruins, all about staying in the moment, that's kind of was what their overall message was at practice on Monday. And it's like, game five's here. You have to, I think, put up the best lineup right now that's gotten to this point. And I think it's keeping your lineup intact, and that's Jeremy Swayman and Ned. And if you get to game six, you deal with it then. If it's Ullmark, you still have, I think, faith in the reigning Vezina trophy winner to close things out, but that's a hurdle for another day. It's all about right now, game five, what gives you the best chance to punch your ticket to the next round.
There's no reason to stray from where what the lineup has been. And that's what I want to hit on next, right? Offense and defense. We saw an interesting thing at practice. Marchand and Heinen did not practice their maintenance days. But on defense, Wotherspoon and Forbert were technically the third pair. And then Grzelcyk, Shattenkirk were the fourth. And, you know, Montgomery mentioned Forbert as an option for game five. Like you said, I have no desire to put him in there, given that the lineup has worked. The team defense has been good. I don't feel the huge need to throw Forbert back in there. Part of me also thinks, could this be a decoy? We saw him do that with Lindholm and McAvoy before the series. And then series starts, and it's Grzelcyk, McAvoy, and it's Lindholm and Carlo.
It's Anton Stralman on the ice for game five.
Yeah, Anton Stralman. Anytime I say series, by the way, my phone thinks I'm saying Siri. Like, no, I don't
talking right now.
Sorry. I know. I should. I can't let this thing be going off while we're doing this. But I don't have a big desire to change the lineup right now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think the fourth line has come together really nicely. I like the speed that Beecher and Boquist bring. I like the puck protection and kind of the physical force that Maroon's been. The third line has been strong with Frederick down the middle and Heinen and Van Riemsdyk. That line is forechecked really well. And the top six, you know, again, you want a little bit more out of them, you know, 5-on-5 production wise, but I don't have a huge issue with the lines right now. Same with on D. I thought Lowry was great in game four. I've noticed, like, I'm cool with it going into game five. Don't overcoach. And, you know, we'll see what happens on Tuesday, but I assume you also would like Montgomery to keep it the way it is.
Yeah. I think it's all about just staying the course, right? It's a great problem to have when you get to the next round and you determine, all right, do we go to Swayman? Do we do Ullmark? Do we keep the rotation in place? All right, Brazo is a guy who is really impactful at 5-on-5 play in the regular season. Getting him in the lineup is a great problem to have, right? Do we take out a guy like JVR, who I think has really kind of reasserted himself the last couple of games up in Toronto? I think he had some really strong shifts out there for that one. So, yeah, these are all questions I think that are you have to answer, but not right now. You got a clinching game in your own building on Tuesday night. Get past a team in Toronto that's reeling that has the talent to jump right back in. We're all well aware of that, but we look at where they are, how kind of disjointed they look, the fact that luck is on your side right now with the fact that you missed Nylander for the first three games, and now you have Matthews, who was without a doubt the best player on the ice in game two and has not looked the same since then. Like, you've benefited from some major breaks in terms of just the evident skill that Toronto has been limited off of some factors outside of what you're doing. So take advantage of it. Put the best lineup out right now. Don't overthink things and try to put this team away and get back into the second round of the playoffs and then go from there. I think it's as simple as that.
You know, I don't want to get into predictions of, like, is this series over? Did the Bruins finish it in five? But I think an interesting thing between the Maple Leafs and the Panthers last year was the Panthers, and I don't know if we saw it at the time. You know, I think we may have overlooked it. And obviously at the end of the series, we realized it. They had some guys who were built for the postseason. Tkachuk, Bennett, you know, guys that were just, you know, bigger, tougher, brought a lot. Even guys like Verhaeghe, like those guys just could pack a punch in the playoffs. Yes. Matthews, Nylander, Marner, who we, you know, haven't mentioned a ton. Like, I don't know. The history's not on their side with that. They're very good skill players. No one is doubting that. Mitch Marner has outstanding vision and skill, and Matthews is maybe the best goal scorer right now in the league, and Nylander has a ton of skill, and that's great, but do they have what it takes to win three in a row? Like, my prediction is no. I don't think the series is over, by the way. I want to say that. But, like, my gut says the Bruins probably win game five. That's what I would predict. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but that's what I would predict. I'm curious if you think any differently on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I will keep on saying this is a very good Toronto Maple Leafs team until they get eliminated, whether that's in 5, 6, 7 games. But I think look at the way the Bruins are playing right now. They don't have to deviate from the script. They have to keep on doing what's working for them. And it's, I think Pat Maroon said it best on Monday. He's like playing simple, boring hockey. Like the Bruins aren't
nearly
as flashy, but you look at, especially in that game 4, where not a lot was happening for extended stretches of the game. The Bruins love that against a team like Toronto that can make things happen in a hurry. You know, winning, you know, controlling the neutral zone, forcing turnovers, flipping the puck out and learning kind of to fight another day instead of trying to force the puck and lead it to turnovers of your own. Blocking shots, all these things that, again, aren't as flashy as, you know, a great passing sequence or a goal off the rush, what have you. But it's what you got to do with this team. Like this team, Marchand, I think, even said it before the playoffs started, like, when this team's at its best, it's all about playing simple hockey and then just taking advantage of your opportunities. And that's what they've done. Like they've taken advantage of bad penalties from Toronto and they've capitalized on the power play. They've had bad turnovers from Toronto where it's like the Reeves turnover that led to JVR's goal. Like they're not like controlling play at 5-on-5, but they're landing their punches when they're there. That's what this team needs to do. And I think if you keep up that defensive commitment, you keep up, you know, whether it's Swayman or Ullmark, whoever it is in net, and then like you keep on capitalizing on the power play, you should be in a position to put this team away.
I agree. This should not be, I don't think this is going to be like last year. That would be my guess. But again, it ain't over. And I don't think Bruins fans will feel comfortable in where they are until the final horn sounds on whatever game the Bruins end up, you know, hopefully end up winning. So, again, we're presented by Prize Picks. Use that code CLNS. Get up to $100 match on your first deposit. And we're presented by Game Time. Use that code CLNS to get $20 off your first purchase. Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Boston Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, you can follow along every step of the way this playoff run for the Bruins over at Boston.com and the Globe. We've got recaps, features, columns, breakdowns, all that good stuff throughout this postseason run. So please read all that over at the Globe and Boston.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And remember that post-game shows after every game, Game 5 Tuesday, me and Carl Corzine will be live again as we will be for every game. So make sure to tune into that. Those have been a blast for the folks who've been tuning in for those. And that's it. That's this Bruins beat early this week. That's Connor Ryan, Evan Marinofsky, Bruins beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week. Teenage Wasteland.